Welcome to the Grace Hour, friends. Monday through Friday, we come to you with a daily program that helps us grow as believers as we dive into believers' daily challenges, and we grow together in faith in a practical way. My name is Ronaldo Brown, and I'm joined in the studio this afternoon with Pastor Stephen Schiavelli. And today, as we've been talking about all week, we've been talking about dating in a godly way. Much of the church struggles with this topic. We've been really getting into it this week. Monday, we talked about the intention of dating. Tuesday, we talked about really how do you date in this generation? Because the excuse always is, well, you know, in 2022, in the 2000s, we do things differently. Yeah, dating might be different, but God is not different. And we talked about on Wednesday about my heart issues. What's my heart when I go into dating? Yesterday, we talked about physicality in relationships, no touch love and things like that. And today, we asked the serious question. For purpose in a relationship, when I'm dating someone, what is the purpose in that relationship? Sometimes we say to get to know someone. Sometimes we say it's marriage. Is there more? Is there more? Because do all I want is a spouse? Do all I want is a mate? Do all I want is a companion? What do I want? I know that I've always thought about it this way. There's four stages in a relationship that ends in marriage. There is dating, there is courting, there is engagement, and then there's the marriage. But is that the end goal? Is that the end game? And we're going to talk about that today, me and Pastor Belli. The verse, Pastor Belli, I was thinking about earlier about this is 1 Corinthians 15:46. First comes the natural, then comes the spiritual. Mm-hmm. Meaning that marriage is not a bad thing, but God forbid that I spend the rest of my life with someone and that's the only thing.
With a Christian, I would believe first comes the spiritual, then the natural.
Okay.
See, I think when you are looking in the natural for a prospect to date or a prospect to for marriage, mm-hmm. you're looking in the wrong direction.
Wow.
You're looking at the natural and not the spiritual. So I would say, when it comes to Christianity and the Christian life, mm-hmm. it would be looking at the spiritual, then coming the natural. That would be second. And high purpose of relationships.
That's
pretty much what we're talking about. I've been studying a lot about the heart because I'll be speaking on that tonight in Bible school on the heart of a disciple, discipleship in the heart of God. And I think what is the higher purpose in relationships.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're talking about. I came up with a few things that we can
speak
about. Number one is it's to glorify God.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that should be key. Does this relationship glorify God?
Okay.
Does it point to God? Does it glorify God? Or does it glorify man or somebody's desire in a relationship? Sometimes parents used to put people together.
That's true. Arranged marriages.
Especially in Africa, you know, where we've minister for so many years. But does it, number one, glorify God? Number two, in a relationship, a dating relationship that would eventually become a marriage relationship, is there a building up? Is there an edification that takes place between the man and the woman?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
The young man and the young woman. Is there edification that takes place? Are they edifying each other? Number three, which is pretty much like number two, encouragement. Do they encourage in body life? In other words, like without a good church, it's very difficult to develop a relationship.
Can we pause right there for a second?
Yeah.
Okay, encouragement. All right. I'm dating somebody in the body. All right, I'm dating someone in the body. And this is the pressure that you feel, particularly in our ministry. And this is why I want your input here. Do we always have to date in the body? Like, I want to be encouraged, because here's the thing. I mean, I got married in this ministry, and I grew up in this ministry a little bit, and I remember it was always like this thing, okay, the only place you can date is at Greater Grace functions.
Mm-hmm.
And my question is, and I guess the question would be, so that's why a lot of our guys, when they start dating, they run like the plague.
Well, that's a very interesting question that causes a lot of controversy. Okay?
Yeah.
Like, obviously, I dated when I wasn't saved.
Okay.
Okay. And I think my marriage is a pretty good marriage.
Ah.
I've been with my wife since 1965.
Mm-hmm.
That's 57 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We dated. By the way, we didn't date for like 9 weeks. We dated from 65 to 73.
Good Lord.
She's kind of looking at me like, and I said to her, you know, when's this going to happen? Yeah. She goes, well, I think it's time.
Wow.
You know, basically, you know, she kind of like viewed the situation, you know.
She was wise.
And with her, like, it was like a no-touch love thing. It was just like whatever. So I think that that's important. And
so you're saying in and out or?
Well, I don't want to give an open door to people that don't think they find exactly what they want.
I get you.
You know, by sight or by some like coffee date. They have a cup of coffee together. That's not her, you know.
You know the vocabulary fast, Bill. Yeah. Hey, let's go out for coffee.
Yeah, let's go out for coffee, yeah. but taking time. And why is it that people do not know how to take time mm-hmm. when it comes to dating? I like how you did it in that blue van.
Oh.
you remember that blue van in the gas station?
Yeah, I do.
Techiman. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. And you asked me what I thought about you having a relationship, right?
I remember coming to you with several names. you were Captain No for a while.
Yes. And your wife is very happy about
that. Yeah, she celebrates you on a regular basis. You said Captain No, I think.
Yeah.
I won't give the number.
Four times?
More than that.
Oh, my God. Sorry.
There was a lot
I'm
of
not sorry. I'm very happy about that.
But I like what you said earlier, too, your first point when you said glorifies God. I don't know if guys and girls know how to have a dating relationship that glorifies God. What would that look like?
Well, obviously, it would be a relationship based upon the word of God.
Okay.
Because God is his word.
Okay.
Okay. So he has a desire and she has a desire for the word. I'm not saying how much. I'm saying at least they're on the right road.
Okay.
They're pursuing this desire and this foundation of God's word. Number two, if it's going to glorify God, is it going to be in the church?
Interesting.
This is important because, in other words, I'm not marrying a body.
Mm-hmm.
I should be marrying the body before I marry a body.
That's good.
You know, in other words, that's to me very important.
Okay.
So it's a church relationship, and that doesn't mean I can't find somebody outside the church.
Okay.
So don't go there yet on me. Okay.
I'm ready.
Number three, is it a relationship that has any concern about the gospel?
Okay.
Like, in other words, like I care about lost souls. She couldn't give a flying rip about whether a person goes to heaven or hell. Well, I don't know how that's going to work. And I'm not saying it can't be developed.
Yeah.
You know, but if is that a key to it? Then maybe the fourth foundation, which we see in the book of Acts for a very spiritual church that glorifies God, is prayer. Is there any prayer? Is there any prayer relationship that's going on at all? So these are the four foundations of a church that glorifies God. So why wouldn't it be the same foundation for a marriage or a relationship that glorifies God? So those are some things I think that are important. And the measure of it or the place of it or how far it's growing, I'm not talking about perfection. I'm talking about direction.
That's excellent.
You know, we're going in the right direction, okay? We're going in it. We desire the word. Maybe it's 5-10 minutes a day.
Right.
But maybe I would love to have it be an hour a day. So, you know, I don't want to have anybody be condemned or beat themselves up.
Sure.
But go in the right direction. That's all. Go in the right direction. Pray 5 minutes a day. Ask God for the grace to pray 7 minutes
next week,
3 months from now. You know, or ask for 20 minutes, 10 minutes. In other words, you're going in the right direction. So many times when we think about these things, people are looking for perfection, and people are very new. And they can. By the way, you can be a born again believer for 20 years and still be immature.
Yeah.
And very, very new in it,
okay.
You know, because you haven't been taught well and there's been a number of things that haven't taken place where you are or the church that you're in per se. So I think that this idea of glorifying God is very important. That was only number one.
I know. I'm going to get to all of them.
All right. You sure?
Yeah, I trust me.
I got seven of them.
That's why God's here. We got a whole hour. My question, but I want to throw this out to you, covering. Now, there's some people that believe that they need a covering for when they're married. But how about a covering while you're dating someone? What do you think about that?
I think it's important. The extent of the covering and the time period of the covering and how much of a covering. I need a covering based upon the church.
Okay.
Of course. I'm in a church. I'm in a church and the church is my covering. God, number one. So let's back it up a bit.
Okay.
God is my covering.
Okay.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Trinity covering. That's first.
Okay.
Okay. Then the church is a covering. All right. And certainly there can be parental coverings for both of these people that are engaged in starting a relationship. Parental coverings, you know, coverings within the church itself, other people that are spiritually mature, mature men and women. Like, say, when I was thinking about marriage, maybe I'm looking to somebody that's been married 20, 30 years, you know, and there's a lot of help they can give me about the right decisions to make so I don't mess this baby up, you know, I don't mess this thing up.
Yeah.
You know? So I can get input. A wise person is wise because they walk among wise men.
Yes.
You know what's sad to say is with a lot of young people, that doesn't happen. They think they've got the whole ball of wax based upon maybe they read a book. You know, they've read a book, they've watched a series of messages or heard a series of messages on relationships, but there's never any input from somebody that could be either a spiritual father to them, a person that is over them with wisdom and maturity, not trying to control them, but trying to give them sound wisdom and advice about the importance of a marriage, you know?
Yeah, I think most people, when they start to date, their first initiation is not coverage. Their first initiation is communication.
Yeah.
I want to communicate with this person. And a lot of times, maybe I'm young and I don't feel that leadership will approve of the relationship. Maybe I don't want to be exposed that much. So they kind of date privately. And then by the time they get to you or to a pastor, it's like they don't want counsel. They want permission. Okay, we're getting married. Can you counsel us now? That's where the covering comes in. And don't you think that's a little late in the game?
A little late in the game, yeah.
But it takes a lot of courage for a man and a woman to say, okay, we're going to date, and this pastor is going to cover our relationship. Not to tell us what to do, right?
Yeah.
But just to say, okay, you have a third party to go to that you both can trust, and we can have a conversation.
I mean, and why not say to somebody that's mature?
Sure.
Doesn't have to always be a pastor. It could be a mature man of God, a mature woman of God, maybe a young lady has somebody initiate to her. Cannot she go to a spiritually mature woman and say, what do you think about this?
Interesting.
I mean, you don't have to take their advice.
Right.
You can take it, but whether you act on it is up to you. But why wouldn't I want to have people give me input? I think even at decisions, and I'm 75 years old, if I'm making decisions about missions and what to do and where to go in my schedule, I want input from people.
Sure.
I want it like this. I want input from people above me, people alongside of me, and people below me. I like that. You know, some people say, oh, yeah, above. How about alongside, too?
But I think with dating, I think we do go sideways more than we go vertical.
Right.
Like a guy will say to his buddy, what do you think of that girl? Or a girl will say, so-and-so likes me. What do you think of that? And where are we going? They don't go up at all. It's like you don't get up until like, okay, let's get married.
You get up. You go up first.
Yeah.
Then you go sideways.
Interesting.
In relationships.
Wow.
And then going up is meaning also going up with God. What does God think? And I want to hear from wise people that have maturity in God so that maybe they're seeing something that I do not see. Like we used to have a marriage relationship committee in our African churches.
You had
to have about seven meetings with different, and we assigned three different pastors. And then eventually they would come, even the elders of the church would call them in and talk to them. Not to try to control them. They want to get married, they get married.
Right.
There's nothing you can do about that. But if they want to do it the spiritual way and they want input, we're available.
Right.
We're available. If you don't want to use what's available, that's up to you.
Yeah.
Okay. But you know what always ends up happening? When they don't use what's available, they're always coming up the road 3, 4, or 5 years later with trouble.
Yeah.
And then you know, if you had just listened.
Right.
Remember Acts 27, you should have listened to me.
Yeah.
Paul said, your boat's sinking. Not only is your boat sinking, your boat is cracking up. But you're coming in on boards.
But it's the way you said earlier, I like it. It's not perfection, it's direction. Getting direction, guidance. I mean, that's what counsel is. There's advice and there is counsel. Advice is, go do this. Go down there, they've got hot dogs on sale for $2. Counsel is more conversational, more consideration, more here is the mind of God, let's talk about it, and then let's go to God and see. It's different. And they only see a covering for advice and not for counsel.
For counsel. That's very important. And, you know, sometimes I would, I appreciate this fact. Somebody came to me and said, I would like to ask your daughter out. I like that. Before they asked her, they asked me. I mean, that's a little bit like over the edge in some cases.
Well,
but you know what? There's a few people I said, no, I don't think it's a good idea and whatnot, you know, and they listened. because I said it with a little bit of, you know,
I think you said
slight
more,
aggressiveness, but you know,
I think you said more than no. I think you said no in a variety of ways. But I want to get back to that thought about purpose, because am I just getting married to get married? Because then where is the direction of my marriage? Once I'm married, I'm done. I'm grinding. I'm working a job. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to church when I can. My family becomes my life. And was this the goal? Was marriage the goal?
Oh,
or is there more?
And I gave you glorify God.
Yep.
Build up each other. Mm-hmm. Encourage by body life. Be fervent in the gospel. Have a desire for the gospel.
Okay.
Living by faith, which pleases God. Being an example and bearing fruit. There are seven things that I thought were very important.
Yes.
In any relationship.
Yes.
Whether it's a relationship of leaders in a church or a husband and wife or a family.
Yes.
That in a relationship are some of these things there. Glorify God, mm-hmm. build up each other, and encouraged by church life, gospel, mm-hmm. fruit, faith that pleases God, being an example in my relationship, and bearing three types of spiritual fruit. And so this is key. So it's not just, oh, we're going to have a relationship. Have you ever considered any of these things? Have you ever considered these things as being vitally important? And I'm not saying that there's going to be like, you know, perfection in seven things.
But
I'm saying direction.
But this is where I'm going with this. Okay, there's purpose. But often what happens is guys and girls date, and there's no purpose in the relationship other than the possibility of marriage. So
yeah.
when they get to marriage, they had a dating relationship with no higher purpose. So they have a marriage with no higher purpose.
It has to happen that way.
You don't pick up the higher purpose on the other side of I do.
Yeah.
You don't get at the wedding and say, okay, honey, I've got this great vision for our marriage, which brings me to this dangerous word. Are you ready for this? Put your seatbelt on. Call.
Yeah.
Because that's huge. Mm-hmm. I remember there was a season when pastor would talk about not marrying someone that has a different call than yours. 2 Corinthians 6:14,
right.
being unevenly yoked.
You are called into God's purpose. So if the call, if my call is not to operate in the purpose of God,
okay.
then basically my call can be different. Your call is to operate in the purpose of marriage alone. My call is the purpose of glorifying God.
Huh.
Okay, so then I come to a place, and how do you test that? See, wouldn't you like to see some of those things take place before you said I do?
There we go.
You know, there's the thing.
Now
see, some people
okay.
think that'll happen after.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I'm looking right now, and I'm watching what's going on in the person's life, not in a judgmental way, but in a discerning way. See, a lot of people, this idea of discernment is far from people. Discernment means being able to distinguish that which is of God and spiritual from mm-hmm. that which is not of God. And so am I discerning? Am I able to distinguish mm-hmm. as I look? And by the way, if those things aren't my life, then I'm going to kind of gravitate towards somebody that's the same way.
Well, help me out here for a second. I'm dating someone. I'm looking at their life. What should I be looking for in their life that points to purpose and call? What should I be looking for? Because this is important. A lot of times we look on the outside. We look at the surface. And we don't discern what is of God in
the
that person's
inward
life.
The inward life.
Okay.
I mean, glorifying God is something that is revealed to an inward life.
Let me get practical for a second. So you mean like, because there's some things that are observable, like church attendance, perhaps.
Yeah.
What's important to them, perhaps. I'm trying to think of things that are mentionable that. Oh. To someone's dating, that if it was your daughter, you would say to her, look for this in a man.
The four things that I mentioned, are those in that person? Does that person love the Bible?
Okay.
Does that person, well, you know, is growing that direction?
Okay.
Does that person care about the church at all?
Mm-hmm.
Does that person just come to church like it's a ritual
mm-hmm.
To an organization? Does that person care about lost souls?
Mm-hmm.
Does that person care about prayer?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there's many other things, you know.
Okay.
Does that person, you know, whatever. But I think those are the key.
Okay.
And I'm looking and seeing, does that person glorifying God? And I'm not talking, once again, because some people can take this and go with the perfection, not the direction.
Yes, I'm with
And
you.
We need to grow. People need to grow. So I'm not expecting like, okay, I've been dating you three times in the last month or in the last 2 months, and I don't see this happening. You know, and so you begin to look at a person based upon your evaluation and estimation of what you think is spiritual. And for them, their capacity might be different.
But I want to push back on that a little bit.
Sometimes you got that hope, you got that hope, hope car emblem in your car saying one day he's going to be spiritual. I mean, I'm just hope, not hope. Like, you know, he says he's saved, you know, but it's going to, you want him so bad. It's amazing what you walk past and they don't change.
Yeah, you're taking a real chance, aren't you?
Yes.
It's kind of like, because like a lottery game, which we hate, you know, it becomes like, I hope this happens. I hope this works out, rather than seeing something take place. Like, would you join a church hoping that they might talk about the Bible? Would you join a church hoping they might care about lost souls? Would you join a church hoping that them? No, you're going to look for a church that's going in that direction, not perfection, but direction. And so the same thing in a marriage, and by the way, I'm going to communicate with the person that I'm having a relationship or starting a relationship with, or if I'm counseling people that are starting a relationship, what do you think about these things? What do you think about these things? And they could honestly say, I really don't have a big concern for the Bible. I don't care that much about evangelism. And okay, that might be true right now, but do you think it's important and do you have any desire to grow in it? They say, yes, I do. They say, no, I don't. Okay.
This is where the covering issue comes in.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a Christian and you're dating someone, and I would say at a certain point, like I mentioned earlier, four stages. I mentioned dating, courting, engagement, marriage. If you're at the courting stage and there's no counsel in your relationship, mm-hmm. how in God's name do you expect to find discernment and purpose in your conversation? You're not going to bring, you can't bring your family in. You can't bring their mm-hmm, family mm-hmm. in. So where do you go? Who's objective? It's like you got to have counsel.
You got to have counsel, and that's got to be from spiritually mature people. This is important. Yeah. Like any young lady that was thinking about getting married,
okay,
I would definitely send them, like I'd say to my wife, would you talk to this person?
Okay.
See, if we start the relationship counseling right in the beginning,
yeah.
You know, then you're not dealing with a lot of tragic things up the road, you know, that you try to bring in at some point. And then it's like, guess what? Now they're over emotional in their relationship mm-hmm. and they can't even see those things because they're saying, oh, he's so wonderful. Yeah. He's got a good job. I've never seen anybody with a hairdo like that. And the way he dresses and look at the car he's driving and all this, you know, and he's such a sweet talker bringing chocolates on Valentine's Day and even the person's birthday.
Your best look is the beginning look. Yeah. You know, it's like you, everything is like, you like dress for a job interview. So, My question would be this. One of our guys followed up with a question, and I'm going to bring this to you.
You mean it's on there?
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
See it.
I'll tell you, it's from Pastor Ben in Ghana. I told you because
I just talked with him, so go ahead.
Thanks, pastors. Great points on the subject. My question, though, is if you decide to marry from outside of the church, should he or she be a believer or even an unsaved person? Before you answer, I want to invite you right now, like Pastor Ben has done, please call in, please write. We'd love to hear your subjects. Dating advice from Pastor Shabelli right here on the Grace Hour. Call in. We want to hear your dating questions. Why not? Shoot for the moon. Go ahead and ask the question. Okay, Pastor Shabelli, go right ahead.
So, actually, I'm dealing with a case right now where a person is, a marriage did not work.
Okay.
Okay, a spiritual marriage. It didn't work. Okay. Whatnot. Or maybe it worked, but something took place. Okay. Now the person is asking me about the issue of dating an unsaved person because they're a nice person, a really nice person and whatnot. And I would say, no, my counsel would be like, what fellowship does light have with darkness? 2 Corinthians 6:14. Okay. There you go. So the Bible says, I'm not saying no. The Bible says no, because you're initiating in a relationship, hoping that the person might be converted. Mm-hmm. And if they're not, and by the way, so unequally yoked can be unsaved with saved, also could be saved with somebody who doesn't want God. They are born again, but they just don't want God. Mm-hmm. And so that also can be a troublesome marriage.
Now that's tough there.
That's a tough one.
The second one you mentioned was, okay, he's carnal. Because the fail safe they always say is, well, at least she's saved. which you can't guarantee, or at least he's saved. I know they're saved, and you just kind of hang on that point, but they don't go to church, they don't pray, their Bible's not there, their life does not reflect a life after God, but you're running with this topic, they're saved, when they may not be.
Yeah, and even if they are saved, but they don't care to be spiritual.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to just run into difficulties, you know, and trouble and whatnot. And I don't know if you need that in a marriage, in a relationship, especially in the early days of that relationship. So I think Pastor Ben is asking a question. I say, was an unsaved person? Absolutely not. I don't care. And by the way, in many cultures, like in Asia and in Africa, you know, if the parents initiate.
Sure.
And they do.
Yeah.
Then am I, you know, saying that's, well, I got to honor my father and mother. No, not when it comes to that. You honor God. You honor God first. You don't honor your parents first. You honor God first. You're hoping that they will agree and you love them and you don't dishonor them, but you honor God. And you just say, like God has spoken to me, a man will leave father and mother and cleave. It's called the leave-cleave principle.
Pastor Belly, okay? One third of the world, as you sit here now, endorses arranged marriages.
Yeah, right, that's now. Horrifying.
Yeah.
That's horrifying. Now, there's nothing wrong with getting the approval of a parent.
Okay.
But if the parents do not approve and God does approve, I'm doing what God says. I'm going to do what God says.
At the risk of ostracizing both families.
But the fact of the matter, if God said, marry this man or this woman, okay? God says to marry this person, and parents say no, then I'm going to trust that God is going to make this right in the future, that God is going to move in their hearts. But I can't do that. So a father and mother say, we picked her out when she was 12 years old, and she's the one you're going to marry. You got to be joking.
There are Christians.
You must be kidding me.
There are Christians globally who still honor arranged marriages.
Well, I don't agree at all. I don't agree at all. There can be input.
Okay.
But not the decision making must be between the man and the woman, husband and wife. It's good. If you're thinking, well, some people say, oh, if you don't like it, or if we made a mistake, you can just get a divorce, you know?
Wow.
Like, no, that's not what we're shooting for. We can't justify that, you know? No, it's like, this is important. What does God say? And I think that we could believe that God would convince the parents. Mm-hmm. And if he doesn't, then what's going to take place? A man shall leave father and mother and cleave. Are you going to cleave to your parents and let the person that God wants you to marry leave? Or are you going to leave the parents and cleave to the woman that God has told you to marry?
Huh? Yeah, it's just very interesting how at this point in time, people, as much as they are advanced, they still have arranged marriages, or their parents have a lot of sway. And ultimately what happens is they get married, and then when it doesn't work, they turn on their parents and blame the parents for the failed marriage.
Right. And you know, and we want to honor them, and we want to receive wisdom, but ultimately the decision is up to the two people. It's not up to the parents. They can give input and they can advise, but I don't know. I have never faced parents that are really antagonistic about that happening. I haven't seen that often.
Well, I can tell you right now what I've seen, not here in America, but overseas.
Yeah,
parents have huge sway. And I've always said this. I said, whoever put you together should keep you together. Yeah. If it's your parents who put you together, then you can't come to the church and fix a relationship that your parents put together.
Yeah.
I mean, you can come, but the reality is, how much influence do we have? But if the church is the place that has united you, when there's challenges in the relationship, then the church should be the one to step in. And oftentimes, we're on the outside. We're literally just a blessing. But I want to pause here for a second to invite our listeners to join in on the phone. You can call us at 1-800-338-7060, or you can call us locally at 410-483-3700. You can email questions@gracehour.org, or you can also podcast. You can reach us Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, Audible, and Stitcher. You can also email us. You can reach us at gracehour.org, YouTube, Facebook. We're there. We'd love to hear your questions
telephone
on this topic. This is the last day we're talking about dating this week. Maybe you've had a question throughout the week. It is Dating Questions with Pastor Shabelli.
Now imagine God married Israel. He didn't say, I'm going to divorce you and marry Baal, nation of Babylon.
Okay? No, he didn't. Let me link these two words again. Call and purpose.
Yeah.
Because I remember, and I'm going to tell you a story here. I remember in Bible school, there was a young lady dating a guy. They both were in Bible school. And then suddenly she broke up with him. And this is what she said to me. She said to me, we don't have the same call, so I can't date him anymore. And we shouldn't get married because we don't have the same call.
That's pretty spiritual.
So open that up a little bit for me. Explain how that's reasonable.
Well, first of all, how that's reasonable is God is more important than the relationship. Mm. And God is the calling of God is the calling of God.
Okay.
It's from God. It's a source. So number one, I'm called to a personal relationship with God. Is that what he has? Number two, I'm called to a relationship with his body, the church.
Okay.
Is that what he has? Number three, I'm called to become a disciple and grow. Is that what he has?
Beautiful.
Number four, I'm called to evangelize lost people, to be involved with the gospel in some way. Is that what he has?
Okay. Beautiful.
So this is key. So there's the calls, the calls of God. It's not just the overall call, I'm called of God, but it's very definitive.
Okay.
Okay. It's very definitive. I'm called to glorify God. So
go ahead.
He doesn't have that, or she doesn't have that, then what's going to take place? They can both be saved.
Okay.
But there's going to be a war when it comes to, he says, I want to go to Bible school and I want to finish Bible school and I think God's called me to be a pastor. And she looks around and says, pastors never have money and I'll never get a new pair of shoes.
Wow.
Okay. So or I'm going to marry her and she really wants to go with God. And I have no interest at all in doing some of these things. I'm saved, but I don't have the kind of zeal and desire that she has.
Okay. You know?
So what you end up doing is just end up entering into a situation that you're hoping could change, but mm-hmm. it may not.
Well, let's think about it. Let me get a bit more practical. Okay. I'm called to missions in Indonesia and I'm thinking about that and we're dating. And this is what you're dating, but you have no capacity to go to Indonesia.
You don't even want to go. And you're going to fight it all the way.
Thank you. Here's another one. I don't want to be married to a pastor, so I'm not going to date a guy that has potential to be a pastor.
Right, because I'm never going to get a new pair of shoes. He's not going to make any money.
So it's like, so really, to be honest with you, don't you think when dating, this is a controversial statement, don't you think in dating you should consider, if you know it, you should consider your calling based on who you date?
Well, you should, first of all, do people consider their callings at all? That's number one.
Yeah, that's okay? True.
Do they just say, I'm saved, I've been called to Jesus Christ, and I'm in the church?
Yeah.
But that's where it stops. Mm-hmm. What is discipleship, called to win the lost, you know, the purpose and all that? So number one, do I understand what the call of God is in my own life? And number two, that's got to be very important in a relationship. You know, that's got to be very important in a relationship. And you have to discern. And that's where you need input. That's where a woman of God needs input. Somebody's initiating towards her.
Yeah.
Does she have anybody she's going to, a spiritual woman? Does she have a pastor, a spiritual woman that she's going to? Mm-hmm. I'm not saying a woman pastor. I said, does she have a pastor who she can go to? And also a woman with maturity and people and whatnot. And what is the wisdom that she gets from other people about the situation? Is she even willing to ask to consider that, or is she so, we used to say this on the street sometimes, hard up that she's just looking for anybody, you know? She's past the age of 32,
Pastor,
and she's now worried about,
Pastor,
am I ever going to get married?
Pastor, that biological clock is ticking,
yeah.
And sometimes, you know, it's like, it's amazing how you narrow your perspectives.
I got a good one for you. Mary Slessor was initiated to by two different men.
Yeah.
She asked them this question. If I marry you, are we going to be in southern Nigeria on the coast where all the missionaries are that are doing nothing but carnal things? Or are we going to the interior? They said, I'm not going to the interior. She said, goodbye. And she remained that way till she was in, she never married.
Wow.
And she became they call her Mary of Calabar.
Yeah.
She's known for giving her life for the gospel. So she didn't see anybody. They were Christians.
Yeah.
Some of them were even serving God.
Mm-hmm.
But her question is, God's called me to the interior of Nigeria. What are you going to do? What do you want to do? I'm not going there. I'm not concerned with that. That's too hard, too difficult.
Well, there
too much.
It is.
She said, well, great. That's great. I have these feelings for you, but I'm going to let them be crucified.
And today, in today's, we talked about it yesterday or 2 days ago, dating in the 2022, I'm a man or I'm a woman. Am I going to date according to my call, or am I going to date and catch up with my call later?
Yeah.
Because what you're going to find out is later on in the relationship and the marriage, the very marriage you got is going to sack your call.
Yeah. Remember this. Times do not change God's call.
Yes.
Just because we live in different times now, and people will say, well, people are different. Women are different. Men are different. You know, marriages are different. No, no, no. Don't give me that. This is the Bible. The Bible's eternal and it's personal. And this is what we're going to go by, unless we're going to be some of these carnal churches that have been seduced by demons and enter into worldly applications of subjects that they know nothing about.
Wow. We have a question I want to give you from Facebook. This is an interesting. Hey, okay. Pastors, what is it that you're saying about it? What if a man came up to a woman saying, God told me you're supposed to be my wife? Now, we're both believers, but God told me.
Oh, no.
Come on. He told me.
That's initiation.
It was a dream.
That's initiation. That's control. That's manipulation.
Wow.
And God didn't tell me that. So have a great day. I won't even buy you a hot chocolate. You know,
Tess, I'll answer that question also, Tess.
God told me.
When I asked my wife to marry her, I said that God is leading me to ask you to marry me.
Yes.
But I said also, God has to speak to you.
Yes.
And if God doesn't speak to you, we're not getting married. Thankfully, he did. But I said, on my side, God spoke to me. On your side, God has to speak to you. So both of us are in this because God spoke to us. So when things get shaky and rocky, we go back to what God said and not what we said to each other.
I had a man tell me one time, he said, God told me if I married you, we'd get divorced.
Wow.
God told me there'd be a divorce. No, so that was exactly the opposite. You know? No,
so God told her it'd be a divorce.
Yeah, it'd be a divorce, you know. Yeah, it's got to be both people hearing from God.
Yes.
And this is key.
Yes.
Then, you know, she says, I don't know what you're talking about. I thank you, you're a friend and all that, but God has never clearly spoken to me about that.
That's a double witness.
That's the end of that, yeah.
It's the principle of the double witness.
Yes, yes.
That's why at the wedding ceremony, they ask the woman, do you? And she says, I do. And he says, and I say, I do. It's not, the guy doesn't step forward and say, we do.
Yeah, yeah, right.
It's that we do. Oh, gosh.
A lot of questions up there. I can't see them.
Oh, there's one question that's burning a hole in my chest, so I'm going to have to ask you. You may or may not answer it. Maybe. Pastor Billy, tell us how you met Linda, please. Dating.
No, I met Linda in Holyoke Community College in 1966.
All right.
Okay. She was just walking through the lounge area. I put my foot across the door so she couldn't pass, and she punched my leg. I said to myself, this is the one.
Violence.
Like she was just like, it was like, she get out. What are you doing? Get out of the way, you know.
Wow.
And it was interesting because then she, my best friend asked her out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now I wasn't saved at the time.
Okay.
My best friend asked her out, and I said, I said, can I borrow your car? And he said, sure. And I said, your car's in a lake.
Oh, slow
so he got the
down.
Picture that he shouldn't be like asking her
so
out.
You drove your friend's car into a lake.
Now, we don't want to use that on the air as an example. Okay,
wow.
I was unsaved and I was kind of like obtruse, a little bit off the edge. But no, I really knew that she was the one.
Mm.
And you can say, yeah, that was in the natural.
Mm-hmm.
But God showed me, you know. So that was a relationship that developed before we were mm-hmm. saved. Okay, she right. got saved first.
Okay.
And that was after marriage. You know?
Beautiful.
That was after marriage because we got married in 73.
Mm-hmm.
And then the salvation came in 74 and 75 for us. That's still 47 years ago.
Wow. You know? I want to go back to the thing about the guy who goes to the girl and says, God, it's usually the guys, even though it's been girls. Mm-hmm. I can say it's been
I've
girls.
I've never heard that one, but go ahead.
I've had
it. You have?
It was interesting. That's for another show. let's just say normally it's guys. But anyway, what if the guy comes to the girl and the girl says, God didn't tell me?
The girl says to the guy, God didn't tell me.
Yeah. Now, most of the time what happens is the guy keeps pressing. That's what normally happens, right? Because it's just like when a guy asks a girl out to date. She says, no, he keeps coming and asking again.
I told Lisa, if that happens, you come and see me.
Oh.
Yeah, and I'll talk to the guy who keeps pressing. And maybe she needs to go to somebody that's spiritual,
yes.
man of God, and say, like, could you please tell this person to stop initiating towards me?
Beautiful.
Maybe he needs somebody to intervene because he can just, like, literally just hound the person.
Well, that's the thing. Guys put pressure on women and they want what they want. And they think it's the classic, you're playing hard to get. And maybe it's not hard to get. Maybe it's the will of God. But for some reason, what you want is more important than what God says.
And the timing of it, too. How about this? Like, let's say God has, we haven't even talked about this one. God has called two people together.
Yes.
And it's very true. And that happens. but they're not willing to wait for the proper timing.
Interesting.
And so they end up getting into a relationship, then they get married. And everything that they lacked maturity in now shows up much greater even in the marriage.
Wow.
In other words, like I needed to develop patience. Mm-hmm. I needed to develop my call. I needed to finish Bible school. Mm-hmm. I needed to know God. I needed to, like, you know, understand the relationship. And I just say, I don't care about that. We're getting married, you know.
Will you live on love?
Yeah. And they both even agree.
Yeah.
But you know what's going to happen in that marriage?
Yeah.
Those years that they could have taken in the relationship to develop maturity in Christ, and it didn't happen, that's going to show up in the marriage and it's going to cause problems, you know.
So you're going to either get it before or you're going to get it on the other side.
What you sow is what you reap.
Well, here's the verse, Hebrews 11:36. After you have, okay, it's the will of God that I date this person. I feel led by God to approach this person. Fine.
Patience.
After you have done the will of God, you have need of patience.
Need of patience, yes.
Yes.
And see, there's the thing, and some people they get emotionally involved. It could be the right person.
Yes.
But you are pushing the time. You're pushing it too quickly. And I've seen, how about this one? Two people are supposed to get married.
Uh-huh.
And the man should wait about 3 years.
Okay.
And they do not wait that time. And then a separation and divorce takes place. In all reality, they should have got married, but doing it the right way at the right time.
Mm.
This is very interesting, you know. And then maybe she ends up, or he ends up marrying somebody else. And that's not the will of God, because it was the will of God for him to marry that person, but to wait the time.
Isn't it interesting when God puts someone in your heart and you know it's God, but it never happens, and you just leave it there?
Yeah.
It's interesting how that happens. Like, it's like the timing of God is so crucial. But what I want to, at the close of the program, I want to close with this. I'm dating because there's higher purposes than just a companion.
Yes.
There's a call on that person's life. There's a call on my life that supersedes the marriage. The marriage is a complement to your calling. Marriage is a complement to your calling more than just your call. I'm called to be married. That's not the only, Jesus Christ didn't die so you could be married. It's greater than that. There's a greater calling, a higher purpose, seeking the things that are above in Colossians 3:1-3.
I sent people back that came on the mission field, and they were married on the mission field. And I said, you need to go home because it's not working here. This is not where you're supposed to be. You've got to be, it's better for you to be back in Baltimore and be there and allow your relationship to develop. Like, you got married and in 1 year, you're like, you jumped to Africa. No. No, that was not the right timing. So go back, and you know, at the loss of people, I sent people home, back, because I saw that it was too much of a pressure for them to be in that situation.
We could end a little controversially. I mean, a lot of folks come to Bible school and they marry, and then you ask the question: how many guys get married from the Bible school? It's a lot different now with income, with housing, all that. It's a lot of challenges that weren't there before, and a lot of guys end up walking away. Or number two, I'm giving this to you because you're Captain Controversy today. So people get married to someone outside the church, and then that person takes them away from not just the Bible school, but the church, from everything.
Right.
They're taken out of the call.
Unequally yoked.
Yeah.
That's what happens. And so God, you know, we're not going to violate your free volition. If that's what you want to do, you do it. And by the way, we'll pray for you and love you.
Yeah.
But we're just saying that you should have listened to me. Acts 27, here comes, wow, look at your boat. Like this, you know, you're floating on a board.
Yeah.
You're floating on a board, and you should be in a nice boat sailing across. But I think it's a great doctrine, a great subject.
Yes.
And it's something that is absolutely needed to be taught about in churches today, in our relationship today, in our Bible schools today.
It's great that Grace Hour has touched it this week. We've been so thankful. I would encourage you to go back, listen to the week. It's been a lot of information, a lot of things, great things said today, great things said all week. Thank you for joining us today. Don't forget to subscribe to the show so when we're on, you know we're on. You can get us on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Audible, Stitcher, and more. And be sure to join us next week. Join us next week. We're coming. Grace Hour. God bless you. See you next week.